This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here is the Glow Show.
Hello and welcome to another episode of our Glow Show podcast. I am Joy presenter Jason Gipps, and here in the studio with me today, once again, we have LGBTI liaison officer Gabby Tyack, Sergeant Scott Davis back in the studio, and today we'd also like to welcome to the studio Sam Solomon, who is an instructor at the Police Academy and also LGBTI Student Network representative. Hello to you all. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Now, Gabby, we had a little bit of an introduction to the podcast last week. This might be the first time someone's tuning into our podcast, but just a quick recap perhaps of where we were in the past with the Glow Show on Joy and what we are aiming for this time around.
Well, the podcast is something that we're doing to try to reach a larger audience, and we've brought back the Glow Show, which was on a five-year hiatus. We ran it once a week for 4 years on Joy 94.9, and then we had a five-year break, and we decided, well, you decided, Jason.
Yeah, I think I did.
You wanted to bring us back, which I'm very happy about. I was burnt out. I didn't have Scott helping me anymore, and we needed a little break. And I think the community, I go to events now, even now, and have people go, I know you from the Glow Show.
Yeah, yeah.
And they want us to come back. So
I don't think a week passes at Joy where someone doesn't bring up the Glow Show or ask when it's coming back. So it's, I guess, testament to the work you've all done in the past, which is really exciting. And I'm sure we're going to be right up there on the iTunes charts now. So points to all of you. And obviously, it is very important these days to have content on demand and available when people want it. Traditional radio, you have to tune in at a particular time. You need to be there and then. And radio doesn't work like that anymore. We're all very busy people and we want to hear the content when we want it and where we want it. So that's the objective. The podcast will be here, available on the Joy website, and also you can subscribe on iTunes.
And it's amazing to have a podcast which involves police because it gives the community the ability to hear about laws and hear what's going on, hear about current issues and how police respond, whether something is an offence, and what kind of services are available to them.
Yeah. I think even for myself, even to the point of about being 25, when a police officer would walk past, I'd instantly feel like there's a school teacher around and I have to just make sure I'm doing the right thing, when I was anyway. But it's weird, that authority thing. And I think the Globe show in the past has always sort of, really humanised things and reminded people that the police are just everyday people.
Yeah,
and approachable.
But don't worry, Jason, because I think all of us still do that. Even as police officers, we still...
Oh, yeah.
If we're off duty and a police car or a police officer walks past, we're going, am I doing the right thing? Am I speeding? You do it.
That's hilarious. Well, Scott, back in the studio, a name that everyone will remember on Joy because you're on a promo and we did it to death over the years. what are you guys currently working at? Now, if you wanted to hear a little, recap on what Scott and Gabby did together in the studio, you can listen back to episode one. Make sure you do that. But what are you working on at the moment?
I transferred out to the Police Academy about 5 years ago, and so I went out there as an educator looking at professional engagement, and we talk about that being looking at behaviours and standards of police, and also looking at how we engage with our communities, especially the diverse communities that perhaps in the past haven't had such a great relationship.
Day to day, it would be a learning experience, wouldn't it? Because I feel like at Joy, I'm here as part of the LGBTI community, as part of an LGBTI organisation day in, day out, and I rarely leave the building. But there'll still be a new kind of lingo or a new way of referring to a particular sub-community of the LGBTI community. And at first, you might sort of be taken back by that, but go, okay, no, I'm gonna take this on, and I have to expand my vocabulary and look at something from a different point of view. I'm assuming that's the same in the police force.
Absolutely. And for our new recruits, because I do most of the teaching for new recruits, although we also do teaching for inspectors and senior sergeants and sergeants. But if for all of them, exposing them to areas that they have not previously had exposure to, it is an enlightening experience for many of them.
Enlightening and I'm assuming sometimes confronting and confusing.
There's absolutely no doubt that sometimes confronting. We have a number of volunteers from the community, including the LGBT LGBTI community that we've got involved in our programs. A new class that we've just started running, we've only run it three times, ends up with about half the class crying by the end of it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really moving emotional experience for the students.
Yeah, you must be tough on people.
You're absolutely right. It's the whip.
Look, I think often, and especially in media, we see that, different representatives of the community, not necessarily outside of the LGBTI community, in politicians. There was a story quite recently of a politician that referred to the community in the wrong way. Now, the community was very aware of that.
Yeah.
I think he had the best of intentions, but I think it still came out the wrong way. You really have to be careful with your wording, because there's someone that's going to be a little bit let down by you not knowing how to refer to our community.
Language is important, because it talks about how professional you are, and people make it a judgment from your language about whether you can be trusted or not, and that's a big conversation we have with our police.
Mm.
You know, somebody's going to come and speak to you because most likely something terrible has happened, and if you don't present in a professional manner with the right language, then you might not hear everything that you need to hear from that person.
Mm.
There's no doubt about it. Language is a really important part of policing.
And probably no different to being in retail. If you know, a bit of a customer service there. If you walk into a shop and you don't get what you need at the counter, you're probably not going to feel like you can approach that clerk again, right? So the police is even more so important, because you're making sure that person feels comfortable in that situation, and that the police can be called on again the next time that they need support, right?
Exactly. That's essentially why this podcast is so important. We're humanising our police. We're going to have different members from all over the organisation, and we're going to talk about what kind of work they're doing and how they're engaging with the community. It's about humanising us, so someone can approach us and trust us and feel comfortable telling us what terrible things may have happened to them.
And Victoria Police has changed in the last 5 years as well, quite considerably. Mm-hmm. We've got new uniforms. The last time I said here it was a light blue uniform.
Wow. So, was it really that far ago?
It was long ago.
Yeah. Amazing.
We've had police service officers introduced at all police stations. They weren't there when we were running the program previously. At all railway stations. I think I said police stations.
Yep.
PSOs at all railway stations. And more recently, we've had police custody officers introduced. And we've got GLOs in all of those roles.
We absolutely do have GLOs who are PSOs and PCOs.
PCOs, yep.
Actually, that is quite interesting, because I've never really made the connection. You see the PSOs there, and you know you can approach them if something's happening, but I've never really made the connection and kind of thought, what would they be like with LGBTI issues?
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a homophobic slur there, or someone's being made to feel uncomfortable about their sexuality at a train station, you can actually approach the PSOs and get some support with that.
And part of their role is educating the members that they work with about what the GLO role is all about, and what it's like to deal with people in our LGBTI communities that might be a little bit different from other parts of our community. So PSOs who are GLOs are doing that within their own stations and within their own clusters, as they say.
5 years is a long time. How have the needs of the LGBTI community changed over the last 5 years? Have you started to see people, approaching GLOs with particularly, different questions, different concerns?
I know that within family violence, it's made us change the way we view or respond to family violence. We're seeing a lot more incidents that we attend where it used to be the focus on intimate partner violence between two partners, whether they be same sex or opposite sex. But now we're seeing a lot more family violence that involves parents and children or siblings. And that's changed a lot, and it's made us more aware of how we respond and to look for different things when we attend incidents. It's not just two partners. It's what's happening with the siblings or the children of those people.
Quite similarly, actually, in our Berry Street podcast, which is our foster care podcast on Joy, that has come up in the past as well. And the difficulty that the LGBTI community does actually have in contacting the police or contacting, just feeling like they can be open about their same-sex relationship, for example, when they are reporting domestic violence has taken place.
Mm.
Quite fascinating. There are there are difficulties associated with that. And I'm hoping that people are feeling a little bit more comfortable about their situations and just letting people know when they're in trouble.
Yeah, and with the increase in GLO numbers that we have, with around about 170-odd around the state now, that means that we've got more members available to attend community events and do promote themselves within local LGBTI communities. Community groups or through radio or podcasts, which means that then we're reaching more people and more people can then know about the GLOWs and then hopefully report things to us.
What sort of events are the GLOWs at throughout the year?
May 17 is one of our major events that we recognise, and May 17 is also one of the events that we've been given permission from our Chief Commissioner to fly the rainbow flags on some of our police stations. We obviously have to have a certain number of flagpoles, so we're able to change flags, but certainly the two main police buildings within Melbourne fly the rainbow flag during that day, and we have GLOWs attending local community events in relation to May 17. We have...
We've got the Police Academy. We fly the rainbow flag out the front.
Right.
And we also have a rainbow flag, which I think in length is about 5 metres.
Oh, wow.
And it hangs from the top level of our four-storey main building, main education building. So we hang that there for the week, as well as some bunting of rainbow flags across some of the balustrades and the like as well.
And I'm assuming seeing the rainbow flag out front of the police station is not just something that is quite warming to the LGBTI community, but of course your members who are a part of the community and feel that their sexuality is being recognised at work, when in the past perhaps they weren't allowed to speak of it, or they felt uneasy talking about it.
Yeah, it's a show of support, that's for sure. And it also shows how much the organisation has changed, because I know quite a few years ago when Scott was doing the role as the coordinator of Gay and Lesbian Advisory Unit, he had quite a few issues trying to get the rainbow flag to fly on the outside the building. Now it's happening. I think Dani Houseman, who's basically the new Scott, has made sure that with the assistance and approval of the Chief Commissioner, that's not even a question now. All we have to do is say, this is the date, it goes up, and the response from within the police stations where it happens or the buildings where it happens has been extremely positive.
So the other thing is we've got our LGBTI student network out at the Police Academy as well. So we will be, for those students that are willing to, because some students that come to the network don't want others to know in the Academy that they're identifying as LGBTI, but those that want to, we will be doing some special things on the day to highlight the fact that we've got an LGBTI student network out there, and that... Yep, you can get involved.
Sam, do you want to perhaps describe your role at the Academy?
I'm an instructor at the Academy, and I'm also one of the staff members of the LGBT Student Network. And we want to make sure we have an inclusive environment for everyone. And we have a great blend of from recruits to PSOs and also custody officers coming out, and they feel really welcome in right at the beginning in the Academy. So my role is we organize monthly meetings, and we often have operational guest speakers who talk about their time and how things have changed.
Right.
So it's really a positive experience for them, to something to look forward to.
Amazing. Yeah. So how long have you actually been doing that yourself?
I've been in the Academy for about 1.5 years.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
A rewarding experience
each time?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it sounds like you mix it up quite a bit. So on a month-to-month basis, there's a few different people involved. And are you learning as you go?
Like, absolutely. I am learning as well. And we have different themes as well. And we also, on Ida Hobbit Day, we do have Academy television as well, where we do have information sessions on the day.
Yeah, we've got, I think it's about 15 televisions around the campus, because it's a big campus. So we call it Academy TV,
right,
and it gives us opportunity to promote a whole range of different things. And Ida Hobbit is one of those.
As soon as you mention Academy TV at the Police Academy, my brain instantly goes to the countless court scenes on Neighbours that I'm pretty sure used that courtroom to record back in the day.
Yeah, they have used it. I think you'd all be also be happy to know that we've got the Academy Awards at the end of the year.
Right.
So we do role plays, you know, pretending to be criminals and the like, and the best
performance.
So that's
why you're on your best behaviour.
That's right, yeah. Want to win that Academy Award.
I never knew about that, Scott.
Yeah, that's we've been doing it about 2 years now.
Well, you've never been nominated, Gary.
I'm not working out at the Academy, so I shouldn't be.
So the other big thing that's sort of happening at the moment that links with the Academy is that there is a big recruitment drive. We're going to employ over about 3,000 new people in the next three or four years. And we definitely want a big influx from the LGBTI community. So the establishment of our student network network has been a really important part, because there's some questions that people want to ask before they get there. So we send out material to everyone before they arrive at the academy, and that includes an email address to be able to email the likes of Sam or myself if they've got any questions about being LGBTI at the academy. And then once we have our monthly meetings, it gives them an opportunity as peers to sit together and talk about, you know, like issues. So to give an example, one issue might be we have a family night where we encourage the students, after they've been there for about 3 weeks, bring your family along, let them see the environment, and you can see who's in your squad and so on. But if you're LGBTI and you're going to bring a same-sex partner, for instance, and you're not out in the squad,
right?
Do you want to be out in the squad?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it safe for me to be doing that? Am I comfortable doing this? So maybe I won't bring my partner, but then what's the consequences of not bringing your partner to an event like that? So it gives an opportunity for the students to discuss how others have responded and tried to attack that.
Yeah, I guess a daily, sometimes, you know, quite a recurring situation to be in if you're in a same-sex relationship and you're new to a workplace, regardless of the workplace or the career path, it's always a bit of a challenge to get your head around.
Yeah. And the other one, I suppose the other big one is our rooms are mostly shared. So how do you come out to the person in a shared room? How do you do that? And so it's great to be able to speak to somebody else that's gone through that just recently. And I think our other big thing that we've had the big success is we had one young fellow that moved from interstate, and I think he moved from interstate so he could explore his sexuality in a new place. He came into the academy and he'd been to about 3 or 4 meetings, and he got to about 12 weeks into the job and they get a week's leave. And he flew home and came out to his parents because he'd been encouraged enough from the peers in that network. So
yeah, safe distance does help from time to time.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So, you know, we're really happy with the way that it's running at the moment. We'd like to get some more people on. We know that there's definitely more LGBTI students in the academy. And there's some reticence to come out to us because they think that we might be recording all the names and all that sort of stuff, which we're not doing. But we nominate some student leaders out of that group, and they wear a rainbow pin on the uniform, and that gives the opportunity for the students who don't want to come to the meetings where there are staff.
Suss it out.
Yeah, but they can still get the advice from those student leaders, yeah.
Amazing, guys. Well, if someone is listening to the podcast right now and they have in the past considered or now considering a career in the police force, is there a particular avenue to go down to find out more information, or should they directly contact the GLOWS to find out more?
I would say that you go to the Victoria Police website, police.vic.gov.au, and there's a link from there that goes to our careers website, and you can look at police PSOs, public services officers on the train stations, or you can look at our custody officers.
And it tells you about the process of what you need to go through and what you need to complete. There's various stages you need to complete and pass to get into the police academy.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for another episode of the GLOW Show. It's always informative, and I'm sure our listeners are loving it. If you do have something that you would like to share, or you've got a question for Gabby, Scott, the rest of the team, you can email the GLOW Show. That's GLOO, theglowshow@joy.org.au. Each week we post an episode on the website, joy.org.au/theglowshow, and it is available via podcast on iTunes. So do subscribe via iTunes so you get the episodes posted to you automatically. And if you like what you hear, remember to rate and review, because the more you rate and review, the better of a chance people have got to find this amazing content. Isn't that right, guys?
Yes,
rate
please,
and review.
Please do it.
Gabby, Scott, Sam, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Vic Police GLOW Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/theglowshow to find more episodes, or search Joy 94.9 GLOW Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.